It's time to turn to the WUKY Sports page with your host, Keith Elkins, revealing conversations and stories you thought you knew from prominent Kentucky sports figures. Now, here once again is Keith Elkins.
Coach Don Lane is with us today. He was head basketball coach at Transylvania University from 1975 to 2001 and holds the record for coaching wins at Transylvania. His career record there was 509 wins, 241 losses. His victory total overall, 524, fourth in NAIA basketball at the time of his retirement. And in that last season, the Pioneers were 27-2, ranked number one in the country for much of the season, the first time Transy had achieved that ranking. And he was named National Coach of the Year by the NAIA, the NABC, and Basketball Times Magazine after that season. He's a member of the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame, the NAIA Hall of Fame, the Kentucky Basketball Hall of Fame, the Transy Hall of Fame, and the Union College Hall of Fame. And Union is where he played his college basketball, and those are among many, many other honors. And another stat that's probably even more important to him is that 92 out of 97 of his four-year players earned their degrees. Coach, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Keith. Great to talk with you.
Well, thank you. It's good to have you on, and I know you're enjoying retirement, but it's kind of a strange time right now. I remember telling someone that in retirement I expected to spend a little more time at home, but maybe not this much, but we're all trying to work through it together.
Well, that's true, and even in retirement, spending this much time at home is quite different for all of us. I stayed on the go quite a bit, even in retirement, so as much as I can anyway, because I'm not much of a homebody, but
right.
I like to be out and among people.
Well, I wanted to start with asking you about the duties of a coach at a school like Transylvania. Now, you face the challenges that every coach at every level faces with recruitment of players, hiring of assistants, game plans, practice plans. And at a smaller school, the head coach has to get that same work done with a smaller staff and less resources. And I would think there are a lot of times you end up doing a lot of things yourself. Tell me about how you went about the job at Transy, particularly in the early years, trying to get all that done.
Well, the first thing that I had to do, I not only just coached, but I also taught.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually was a tenured professor, and after I retired from coaching, I taught another 13 years and ended up being a full professor and retired as a professor emeritus. So that was the teaching. I think I taught at least one class for the 41 years I was there. All but one semester, and many semesters I taught too. I also, which I enjoyed doing it, but it's and also was athletic director for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to space my time out. But other things, I mean, my wife. There were times that she actually, I'd bring the uniforms home, and she'd do the laundry at home, and we had great managers and so forth. Sometimes things didn't work quite as well as they should at the school. But we had no athletic trainer when we first started. So Coach Whitson, who was a wonderful assistant of mine for 26 years, all the years I was head coach at Transylvania, he was my assistant. We worked together and did a lot of things together, but I did everything from I was on faculty committees. I worked on strategic plans, but then in addition to that, I'd swept the gym floor, get ready for games. I mean, I would set up tables, whatever you needed to do, I tried to do that. And those are things that I think you just do what has to be done to prepare yourself to make it work for you. I always tried to treat, and when I was recruiting a player, I always told them, I said, number one, you expect me to work as hard as you do. And at the same time, you'll be treated in the right manner. And if you need help academically, we'll make sure that happens to you. So I helped set up tutors and things of that nature as well. We didn't have any type of system thereby. But Coach Whitson and I did all the training going back to that. We actually did that. And Coach Dr. Ben Kibler, who just retired last Friday, from the Lexington Clinic, and I set up the first relationship between a university and a clinic with a trainer. So there are lots of things I did. I could go on with that, so I'll stop at that point.
Well, those are the things that if you're going to coach in that environment and embrace the small college environment, those are the things that you do have to embrace and take those as a positive, the opportunity to do those different things and serve the players in that way and the university in that way. Whereas if that's not something you're going to be interested in, then that's probably not going to be a good fit for you, right?
Well, yes, that's true. Of course, I think on any level, you got to be prepared to show the kids that you're willing to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The more people you have, certainly, the better. And I had some really good managers over the years. But still yet, you still have to dig down and do some of the things that people don't expect, particularly when we ran camps, which were very, very big.
Mm-hmm.
And that I did a lot of that preparation work myself with little help and ran those camps myself, so with Woodson's help. But there are a lot of people over the years that we gradually pulled in. But initially, it was a full time job almost in itself. And then, of course, I still had to do the TV show, which we had an opportunity to do together.
Yes, absolutely.
And so there are lots of things that were in, and of course, we kind of always did that, had to do things in preparation for that, that others might do otherwise. So whenever somebody had to have something done, they called us. And if it was had to be maybe just change the light bulb in the gym, I mean, mm-hmm. whatever it took, we were willing to do it. That, because we always wanted to present ourselves in a really, really class manner. And in like Bellarmine has gone to Division I, I think we were in a position where we could have done that in so many ways had that been a direction a college ever would ever have wanted to do.
Well, I wanted to ask you about those camps, which became certainly a staple in central Kentucky and in eastern Kentucky as kids came from all over, and then also our work on the TV show there a little bit later. But I also wanted to just go back to the beginning and ask you, as a child, how did you develop your interest in basketball? Where did that come from originally?
Well, I love that question. I'm in the process of putting together my autobiography, and I just went through that section. I've gotten through and up to where I start at Trancy as a head coach. And then I kind of got stopped and I got to get restarted. But I have written all that. And I really got excited about playing basketball. My brothers played. I had two older brothers, and then I have a younger brother, and then three sisters. But my two older brothers both played. My dad almost always, we were tenant farmers, and we changed from farm to farm over periods of time. And any time we moved, the first thing, within a week, we would have gone out and cut a couple of trees. We always took our backboard with us, and we put up a basketball goal. And I can remember as a 5 or 6-year-old, my brothers, if I hit the bottom board, they would count that for me. So I kind of liked it. And then I just played on my own a lot. We were on the farm. I wasn't out playing with people much. And then I got excited about it as time went on, finally could shoot it and shot it pretty well early. And then once I got into sixth grade, I was fortunate enough to have a person who had gone to Transylvania who had played basketball under Letcher Norton at Clark County, who we started a sixth grade team at Versailles Elementary. And all of a sudden, he had practice, and he said, oh, you got a chance. So from there, it went on, and as an eighth grader, I made the varsity team at Versailles High School, and it went from there.
And you did have a great career at Versailles High School. I saw an item that Mike Fields wrote up not too long ago and pointing out your high game at 38 points at Versailles. And, of course, the word about Mike, not too many people have covered high school basketball more extensively than Mike Fields. So it was
he's one all-time great.
Absolutely. So to have his perspective and bring that out, that was a nice mention of the high school playing career. You are not a big man. You needed not just speed but be able to adjust on the run and to be an effective scorer. Is that something that came kind of instinctively to you, or did you have to polish that up as the years went by?
I think a combination of both. I had a great eye for the basket. My high school coach was Jim McAfee, who died just a couple of years ago, and I was honored enough to be asked to be one of the speakers at his funeral. but he did a lot to push me in basketball. I loved it. I really loved it. And he was, as an eighth grader, he picked me to be on the varsity, thinking I was a sophomore. And my brother was a senior that year, and he said, you know, he's just in the eighth grade. He said, I don't care. He's good enough to be on the team. So it kind of went from there, and I had had him as a health teacher in the ninth grade. And I noticed one day he had a book on his desk, and it was a basketball book, which was an XO book. It wasn't a biography or anything. And I said, do you mind if I read that? And he said, no, go ahead. You can take it home and keep it as long as you want. And I brought it back to him the next day, and I gave it to him, put it down on the table. And he said, you didn't like it or just too much? And I said, no, I've already finished it. And so he started giving me books that were, and I know on our eighth grade team, our coach was a pretty good coach, but we got beat by a team. And I said, look, I've got the offense to put in for us if you let me do it. So as an eighth grader, I put in an offense for us that beat a team that we played. So, I mean, I got started really, really early, and I had a real, real knack. I just enjoyed it. I loved it. I really put my heart and soul into it. And I knew fairly on, I knew then, that even as early as a 9th, 10th grader, that I really wanted to be a high school teacher and a basketball coach, because I had such really good role models.
In fact, I was just getting ready to ask you about when your interest in coaching developed, and you mentioned those things there. I think player coaches on the 8th grade level, that's pretty rare, so you had to know your interest was pretty strong at that time. But, you know, a lot of guys play the game, and no matter what level they reach, coaching is just not something they want to move into, but it's obvious you knew that pretty early that you were going to be interested in that. You progressed to play on at college at Union. Tell me about your experience there.
Well, gentlemen, when I was a junior, I was ranked 13th best player in the state, and they had a lot of people recruiting me. But at 5'6", I usually ended up second behind somebody. I know Coach Rupp came to see me play, and he was recruiting Randy Emery at the same time, and Randy was 4 or 5 inches taller and was could shoot it a little deeper than I could. And then was a little quicker, so I mean, I wasn't any doubt about that one. But still, yet it was I had some really good people interested in me. But Union really—I'd never been that far to Southeastern Kentucky before. Probably was Richmond the furthest I'd ever been at that point, and that would have been for a game. But we went. I had Jim Wiles, an ag teacher, took me down to so they could watch me play. And it worked out really well, and they ended up giving me a full athletic grant. And Trancy was really interested in too, and they were prepared to offer me a half scholarship for basketball and half for academics. I think once I got the full ride of Union, they kind of backed off. But Lee Rose was one of my high school coaches for a year and also had big influence, and he was at Transylvania under Coach Newton as assistant. So he wanted me really to come there. But turned out Herman Bush was a big influence in my life, his whole career, my whole career, and another person that I was asked to speak at his funeral. I loved him dearly. Coach Pete Moore is still alive. Took over after Coach Bush, and I played for him a couple of years. And my senior year, we had 4 really solid guards. And we lost our full-time assistant, and my coach, Coach Moore, asked me, he said, I could really use you as a full-time assistant, even though you're just a senior, if you would do it. And if we need you to play, we'll pull you back. And I went ahead and did that, and it was a really rewarding experience and kind of got me kicked off into coaching.
Really did. That's a good launch to the career. Now, you had jobs on the high school level, and, of course, you, as you mentioned, your thought earlier was to be a high school teacher and coach, but at some point you must have decided that you wanted to move to a higher level as far as coaching was concerned. Tell me about the high school jobs and then the transition into college coaching.
Well, I did know once I went to college and saw what was transpiring, I did want to be a college coach. So that kind of started why I was in college, because then I liked college teaching as well, and I liked that environment. And what actually was I was asked to come back and do my master's work at Union and be the full-time assistant another year after I graduated. But I was offered, my head high school basketball coach was the principal of Mount Sterling High School, and he said, look, I've held you a job here for a year if you'd like to have it. And you come in, be my full-time assistant. We've got a teaching position for you. I was a science teacher as well as a health education, physical education teacher. And we have a lot of places we can need you if you'll do it. So I did. I went ahead, and the coaches at Union said you need to take that job. And I really did. I'm really glad I did. I helped him for a year, did most of the coaching that year, and then was a head coach there for a couple of years. I went 1 year to Union of Tennessee as an assistant, and that's a really interesting experience because they wanted me to really stay and teach and coach track, but after the first year, the basketball coach told me, I don't think you're going to be able to be a very good basketball coach, and we want you to stay, but I really don't need you to help at basketball anymore. So I left, and I asked the dean one night, I said, what does it take to come back here and be the head basketball coach? He said, go build a record and come back. And that was a motivating statement given to me. I was only 25, so Brian was only, I think he was 2 years old at that point, and so maybe a year. And so that kind of drove me. I went back to Mount Sterling for a year, then went to Woodford County for two really good years. And then Lee Rose called me in August of that second year and asked me if I would be willing to come and be his assistant at Transylvania, replace Roland Weirwillie. And that's when I actually took a $2,500 salary cut to go from Woodford County as a head coach, athletic director, to Transylvania as a teacher and basketball coach. Also was a head golf coach. That was scary.
Yeah, it's a move. You know, people see it as a move up because you're coaching players at a higher level, but right. Not necessarily on the personal side.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Now, of course, was your entry then into college coaching, and was it after a couple of years at Transy you got the opportunity at IU Southeast?
Yes, moved me. I had two tremendous years, learning years under Lee Rose. I've always said he's one that when I was fortunate enough to be inducted into Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame. I paid attention to the fact to him that he was one of the great strategists in the world as far as taking a team or taking a group of people, putting them in a system, and make it work, and then winning from it. And he taught me a lot about that. And that really, really. And after 2 years, he said, "You're ready when you get an opportunity." So Indiana Southeast, my wife was from Clarksville, and we had played Indiana Southeast, and they had done well, and word had gotten out that I might be interested, and they called me, and I went down, interviewed, and paid me very well, and it was a great start. We had a great year. They had never had a winning season, and we beat people that are a lot of Division I people now, like Wright State, Southern Indiana Division II, Kentucky Westland was on our schedule. We played Indiana's University in Annapolis. We played some of the better teams in the Division II. Mm-hmm. Bellarmine. We beat Bellarmine at Bellarmine. That kind of really got people's attention. And because Transy always had a hard time beating Bellarmine at Bellarmine. And so that just kind of catapulted things. And when the Transy job opened and Lee Rose took the job at UNC Charlotte, I really didn't think I was going to leave because I thought the job at IUS had great potential. And I was moving things in a lot of different directions. I was also the athletic director. But word got around, and I think Monta even made a call to find out what was going on. And they called me and said, "Hey, would you be interested in interviewing?" And I was one of several, they only interviewed two. And I was fortunate enough to get it. Brian gave me all of somebody, one of the ADs or something late after me, had the letters of people that applied. one of the guys that applied it was Dale Harris.
Oh, yeah.
For the same job.
Yeah.
And so Lee eventually worked with the NBA.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, yeah. Some of the people that applied for that job.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like
you might remember that.
Oh, sure. It was hard to tune in to an NBA game without seeing Dale Harris. He coached a number of teams in the NBA. No, yeah. I didn't. I was not aware of that. Yeah.
There are some others that I can pull out, but I won't now.
Yeah. Now, of course, you get the job at Transy. You're familiar with the environment after being there as an assistant, much less growing up in this area. So you are aware of the challenges in recruiting to a place like Transy. But go over those as you went about it for the first time as the head coach. What did you try to bring out to get the player who would be not only a good player but a good fit at Transy?
Well, initially, Lee left me a lot of good players. In fact, a couple like James Cooley Clay, who's one of the best players that ever played there, who's deceased now, could play anywhere, played with Jack Gibbons at Bryant Station. He was on my first team, and I had a wonderful first-team captain, Tim Taylor, and Wendell Jividen, who just went in the Hall of Fame last fall. Several of those guys are in the Hall of Fame now. And but there were that had some great players to start with. But at the same time, I had helped recruit some of them, but not all of them. So I had to work through that process because I wasn't Lee Rose. I didn't pretend to be. And I said from day one, I'll coach the way I want to coach, using everything that I'd gotten from him and otherwise, and try to work from there because you still had to help run the T Club, which had 300 members in it. I was the person who made that work and all the other things. You just kind of had to go in. I was fortunate enough to know a lot of the people initially, so that helped a lot. But then also, Lee also told me, he said, we've got one kid we've contacted. We only have one scholarship available. Of course, at that time, we were given full grant in AIDS and did for all the time that I coached. And so he said, John Hart down in Lebanon County and down in Marion County. So I brought him in, and, of course, John ended up being a phenomenal player for us. And that kind of kicked me in. But the thing that I already knew that most people that would have difficulty with in recruiting is I knew, number one, you had to find out what kind of grades they had. Because you couldn't get, if you didn't have certain grade point average and certain ACT, SAT scores, you couldn't get them in. And what I found out with over time was, it turned out if there were 100 kids in the state, there would be about 20% of them we could get in. Of course, out of that 20% is going to be in a certain group. They're going to go Division One, regardless of who's after them. But I had to, that's the first place you start. Then you had to look. Then I looked, and as we had always in the past, I tried to look the kind of person they were, kind of environment they'd grown up in as basketball players, and that we really depended on the high school coaches to help us to talk about who they were and would they fit and all that. And then I always brought them in and made sure they met my own team. So whether my own team would have some say to degree in a kid if, hey, this kid may not work. And that happened a couple of times. And so all those grades you had to really take into you had to think of when you were trying to put together who you're going to recruit and all that. We were pretty wide in terms of recruiting, but over time, camp was a huge part of our recruiting as time went on because initially that first year, I know, had somebody say, you won't, well, Coach had Rose at the camp, but you will probably won't be able to get any bigger. Well, we had about 280 that first summer, and I think the most we ever had was a little over 2,500 one summer. So, I mean, all that was a – and then I know one year every kid on my team had been to basketball camp.
Yeah, that's amazing. That, and that, I remember the camp being so well organized, and during, as I got to know it a little bit during my time as a PR director at Transy back in the late 80s, early 90s, and my older son Adam was a Transylvania camper, as have been thousands and thousands of others over the years. But you really had it well organized and well planned, and something that parents could be confident in, and obviously that's a key when you're dealing with young kids.
Always, I think. Dealing with, and that's true with recruiting. Period, and it is that you, the parents have to have confidence in you that you're going to take care of their kid, and that you're going to do what's best in their best interest. And I did that whether I was with campers, whether I was players or whatever, because that, and safety was a factor at Transy because of the with campers because of Broadway. 30,000-40,000 cars a day come by there, probably a whole lot more than that now.
Mm-hmm.
But so they were crossing streets and things like that, and you just have to let people know that we're going to handle that. We're going to make sure that we take care of them, and that was crucial because that was probably one of my biggest questions and apprehensions from parents when they bring, particularly 9, 10, 11-year-old kids are staying away from home for the first time.
Sure, and you're overseeing them for that time. They're staying there on campus. That crossing the street, that was practically a ceremony there.
when they were going.
Oh, yeah, that would stop traffic for a while.
But it was. It was a ceremony because I hired one person to work that stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got it a lot much better way for them to cross because they – but I didn't let them cross the middle of the street. And they had to go to the stoplight. But they didn't cross on their own. I always had somebody there. I hired somebody to be there any time somebody went across that street, whether they were a senior in high school or a 10-year-old.
Yeah, and you had I know you had a good system for reaching out to campers, too, to get them to come back and to be in communication with them, and all that developed over the years. But you really had a great routine down after just a few years, and that seemed to be one of the keys to the growth of the camps, too. The Lane Basketball Camp name is very, very well known now.
Well, thank you, and Brian's carried that forward so well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's probably better camp director than I was. So he could juggle. I wanted him to teach him to juggle, but always had somebody else for it. You know. And anyway, and do quarter tricks and all those kind of things. It's just, but you're right. It was a system. And what you had to find, what you had to understand at Transylvania, where if you're in Division I program, you know it's got to be that team is it. You probably don't have to worry too much about campers. You got somebody that maybe just runs that for you, particularly a bigger school. But at Transit, that was something we worked all year on. And one of the things that I did very early in developing those camps is I located people in each region of the state that were really well-respected coaches who I got to come to camp or had already been there before that I knew, like Bo Davenport, who had the great Evanston County team that probably kept the tournament from going to classes when he won it. Guys like Craner Sloan down. These are West Kentucky guys. Eastern Kentucky, you had any number of guys. I mean, when Sloan was in Ashland one time. But in all different directions, I had people in every region, some more than one, who kind of helped me in that region. And if I'd say, they'd help me get brochures out. And of course, you didn't have media like you do now. And I sent every high school anywhere from 10 to 50 applications. And it was a lot of work. But all that would have done no good if we didn't do a good job once they got here.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to make sure they were safe. We gave them good instruction. The food was good and gave them at least a decent place to stay in the dorm, even though we didn't have air conditioning. And I used to say, that's a bad courage. You got to work through that.
Yeah.
And kind of ended up being that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. I was out walking here in my neighborhood last night, and there was a guy had a Transy shirt on. He said, "I like your shirt. I played soccer at Transy in 95, and I looked at his wife and said, "Where'd you go to college?" He said, "I went to Eastern, but I came to your basketball camp several years." So
yeah.
I get that all the time, and it's very, very – it's a thing where we've tried to do it over the years, and Brian's continued it. So I guess now we're in our from 75 to 2019 would be
– 44, is that right?
Yeah. Wow. So that's how many years we've looked at Lane camps.
Mm.
And it's something we're very, very proud of, but I'm really proud of all the people that helped me build it. I didn't build it myself, and lots of good, strong coaches that won state championships, like Tom Kramer that won at Shelby County, Ed Charles Hurt on his team, and guys like Arn Simpson down at Union County that had Freddie, Lynn Cowan, and Dwayne Casey on his team. It came. Rex Chapman came when he was 12, 13 years old. I mean, when you got those kind of people out there talking for you, it's time. Oh, and once kids get out, if they keep talking for you, they say, "Well, where do you send your kid to camp?" Well, we go to Don Lane's camp at Transylvania, or we go to Brian Lane's camp at Transylvania. It means like you can't beat that kind of advertising.
Wanted to ask you again on the as far as the head coaching duties are concerned. You had the 509 wins at Transy, and you got a lot of those against some really great coaches. You had some great coaching rivalries over the years. You mentioned the name of Roland Willie earlier, and of course he's from Transy, but coached at Berea for many years. But tell me about some of the guys you went up against and your relationship with them as a competitor.
Well, the relationships were, we were competitors against each other. And at one time, there were five. I'm going to give you these guys. One was Lou Cunningham at Campbellsville,
mm-hmm.
Randy Vernon at Cumberland, who was an NAIA Hall of Famer, Roland Willie at Berea, Hall of Famer, Reed at Georgetown, Hall of Famer, later replaced by Happy Osborne, who's a Hall of Famer, and then myself, this one. So there was the five of us. That really, really had, we were just tremendously competitive. But you know, once we got done, we liked each other. And we even now, occasionally I'll make contact with Randy Vernon or with Phil Cunningham, was Lou's son. And I tried to maintain contact with him over the years. And it just means a lot to do that. But there were other great ones, like I coached against Don Meyer down at David Lipscomb. He's dead now, but a phenomenal coach, one of the more respected NAIA, NCAA coaches in the country. And there were other ones that came on that were guys that I coached against that ended up in Division I basketball that had great teams. Guy at Wichita State. I lost his name. I'm sorry, Keith. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he coached at a school down near Charlotte, and we beat them twice. And they were ranked above us by quite a bit. And he never, anytime I see him, even now,
mm-hmm.
he says, "You remember, how'd you beat us twice?" I said, "Well, the first time you said it was officiating. Second time you had the officials. So must be in my team, I guess." So. But I had Swintowski and some of those guys on that team at that time, so we were pretty good.
And I wanted to ask you, too, about in addition to the relationships with the coaches that you competed against, of course, if you're going to coach in Lexington, Kentucky, you know that the University of Kentucky is going to get the dominant attention. And you worked with coaches at various levels at UK. Of course, Eddie Sutton's son played for you at Transy. Tell me about your relationships over the years with the UK coaches.
Well, I'm very, very fortunate there. Many of those guys came to games, even. Coach Rupp, I got to know Coach Rupp. Nothing like his players or Lee Rose, but I got to know him pretty well. And then Joe Hall and I were really, really good friends. And he came to games. I think Coach Rupp came to a couple of games in those early years before he retired. And then Coach Sutton, of course, he said, "I want Scott to play for you." He didn't think Scott could play at Kentucky. And Scott said he didn't really want to. He wanted to go where he could play and play immediately. And I was very fortunate to have him on my team. And, of course, after everything came down, I know after that, actually, the year Coach Sutton stayed here a year after he resigned. Mm-hmm. And he brought Sean over and worked out at McAllister almost every day for about 3 or 4 months that year. And then when he took the Oklahoma State job, he said, "Coach, I hate to do it, but I really need to take Scott with me because, number one, I think he could play for me out there. But number two, he said, I just feel like I need to have the family together." Mm-hmm. So I lost a really, really good one after his sophomore year. But Joe was really good to me. And just to kind of give you an example, he would take me out, Mon and I, if we were at the Final Four. Mon and I have been to since 1974, 26. We're going to go this year, so 26 and 18 is, 44.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to 44 straight. This would have been our 45th straight.
Wow.
Final Four. And Joe, if he didn't have a team in it, he always took his staff out to eat at the Final Four, and he said, "Coach, I want you to go with us." He'd always include us. And I always really, really appreciated that. And then Coach Patino and I were pretty close. He sent his kids to camp. Well, I know one summer I was concerned about security because I had the governor's son, Brandon Jones, and I had all three of Rick's kids at one time. And so I had Brian work that floor for me that year.
Yeah.
So, but I was close to Rick. And then over time, a couple of my players really were close to him. And then when he left, of course, then Coach Sutton, Coach Cal, I already knew him when he got here. But once he got here, I reached out to him, and we've been very close as well.
And Coach Tubby Smith, too, in his time.
He has had
some very nice things to say about you, I know, in a couple of things that I read.
When I had open-heart surgery, the first person that called me was Tubby Smith. And he was really probably, I forgot him, gosh, we were really, really close. And it was a situation where when I retired, he knew I was going to miss coaching because I was only 59, but I had health reasons I needed to, as it turned out to be right later on. And he invited me to practice every day if I wanted to come. He said, "Just come on in, sit down, watch." And then over time, he started asking me to watch practice, make comments. And he'd come up and sit with me a few while late. Then in the early scrimmage games, he would ask if I would just watch and then talk to me later about the kinds of things I saw. He always really, really respected he respected me as a coach and as a person, and as I did him, and all the, and that was a special. I'm glad you mentioned him because he was very, very, we were very close and still are.
Wanted to ask you about coaching in McAllister Auditorium, that was home to Transylvania basketball for so many years, and really had a great atmosphere in there. Of course, it was great to have the program move into the new facility. But one of the highlights was for us at Channel 18, where I worked in the late 70s, was our annual game at McAllister Auditorium to televise the game live, a Transy game each year, and that was a big item on our calendar, and I hope it was for you too. We had a lot of fun doing that.
Oh gosh, it was. It was the one that when the schedule came out, that's the first thing that everybody wanted to know, where what's going to be our TV game. And of course, Tom Hammond was with us originally,
mm-hmm.
And I think I did the TV show with him for 5 years, and he did our games as well. I think one time he told me when he applied for the SEC Game of the Week to do that, I think he sent one of the transit games.
Yes, I believe that's true. Yes.
You may know more about it. I think that's true. And anyway, we really, that first year, I think we did three games that year. But as time went on, we developed where there was only one. And I can understand that. And it was a really, really special time and moment. And really put the big time look at us. And the teams that came in, you know what, that was going to be their greatest effort. And it usually was against somebody really, really good. And most of the time you try to do it with a Berea, Cumberland, Northern Kentucky. So somebody it's also was in the viewing area. So that helped as well. And so it was a very, very special time. And doing those games and all those TV shows, I think I did almost 400. Was a lot of fun and a lot – it meant a lot to the program, meant a lot to the school, because because there wasn't an ESPN then.
Right.
I mean, people wanted to see basketball.
Yeah.
And they saw live basketball. And a lot of people followed us that were on the viewing area because they watched the show. And that really helped us a lot. It really did.
Yeah, that was a weekly coaches show, and I was pleased to host that one for a while, too. And that gave you a chance to report each week on what was going on with the program, spotlight a couple of the players like a typical coaches show would do. But I know you felt like it was a good opportunity for Transy, and we certainly enjoyed producing it and having it on the air, too. That was an important part of our sports programming.
Well, thank you and all the others. I think somebody counted up for me one time, maybe. Kenny or somebody counted up like there were like 15 different hosts,
yeah.
And they were really. Y'all had to do the work. I mean, I just showed up and y'all did the work, and you did it as a part of your programming, and that was what was so that I truly always appreciated. I tried to show it, but it was a labor of love doing that, and one of the things I'd really missed that once I didn't get to do it, because I truly enjoyed it. I enjoyed trying to do those. I'd always have a tip of the week, something relative to basketball. Sometimes it was a mental thing and something that somebody could use. And I know that I used to try to bring on a lot of the local coaches, guys like Nolan Barger, who was very close to us, and sent kids to Transy, Al Pruitt, Jock, and several of the others that were in town. And then we'd bring some in from surrounding counties like Gene Kirk and Madison Central coaches. We'd bring those people in until the rules wouldn't allow us to do it. And that kind of was fun, too, because it gave us a chance to accent high school programs in addition to our own.
Well, with a long coaching career behind you now, I would assume there are some souvenirs, some memorabilia that you've held on to. Is there anything that's a favorite item that you have there at your home that really reminds you of a special moment?
Yeah, there's two or three of course, all the balls that were like 100, 200, up to 500 were specials. I got an honorary degree from Union College. That was very, very special. Of course, any of my Union College and then my master's at Kentucky and things of that nature, you always value those things, and they're certainly displayed. But I've got some wonderful pictures with a lot of great people that are up, in addition to some wonderful plaques, even recent that have been very special, like the honorary degree from Union, the Jim Host Award that I got just two or three years ago.
Yeah, that was for youth sports, which was a different category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the category youth sports, and all the people that have done that. And then a couple of real, of course, each one of the plaques that are Hall of Fame plaques are special. And I've got a wall where all my teams that got into national tournaments, all those special teams, and there's several of them, that I have is in one section on the walls downstairs. And then I have another section that was specifically set up. I didn't design this, by the way. my wife and another lady did this, designed a section for the Hall of Fame plaques and all those kinds of things that came up. But one of the really, those are all really, really special. One was a plaque when I went in Kentucky at the Hall of Fame. They did there was an artist that did caricatures of all of us that went in that year. I really wanted it, but they sold it at an auction. And one of my cousins, Mona's cousins, bought it for me. It went for like $1,000. He gave it to me. And the things like that people did. People have been wonderful to me. Have given me a lot of nice, really, really nice things. I was a Reebok coach for several years, and was at a Final Four, and Reebok was holding one of their traditional meetings that they do, a gathering for all the people that are Reebok across the country. And that was the year that I got my year I retired. At that time, I didn't know I was going to retire. But they gave me a huge framed Reebok pullover with 500 wins. I think it was against Georgetown. And it was a very, very – and I wasn't going to go. And Brian comes and gets me and said, "Hey, Dad, why aren't you going? You always go to that." I said, "I'm worn out. I got to walk 2 blocks."
Yeah.
And he said, "Come on, you need to go. I'm going. Just go." So I went, and I get in there, and they start talking about this guy, and I'm thinking, I'm just sitting there, and then finally Brian nudges to Dad, "They're getting ready to present you an award. That's yours." So that's when they gave me a very special award. And then another, when I left Trancy, or when I retired as a coach, they took all the media guide covers and put them, public relations did this for me, Sarah Emmons, and put all the media guide covers in one frame and accented them, and that's a very special thing, too. And like I said, in addition to all those great things that you get on your own teams, and I've got several of those there.
You mentioned media guides. I'm looking right now at the cover of the 89-90 Transylvania Basketball Media Guide, and Brian, your son, is on the cover of that one, and that was his senior year. It's hard to believe that's been 30 years ago, but the Transylvania basketball tradition is certainly in good hands with Brian. He followed you and has been the head coach now for a really unbelievable 19 years, and of course has done very, very well and preserved that Transylvania tradition that CM Newton, Lee Rose, and yourself had going. And I know you have to be extremely proud of all he's accomplished.
Oh, I really am. He spent 10 years in Division I at 5 different schools before he took the job at Transylvania.
Right. He had certainly earned his pathway there with a lot of hard work as an assistant.
He did help me one year, the first year he got out, while he got his master's at Eastern. But he went to Charlotte, was under some great people like Jeff Mullins, and was at NC State under Les Robinson, who headed up the NCAA National Selection Committee for 2 or 3 years. He was Steve Newton in South Carolina. It's Kyle Macy at Moorhead, as well as FAU in Florida. So, I mean, he had great experience coming in. And, of course, we were changing and doing the transition from NAIA to Division III. And he knew the background of the school. He knew what it was going to take, the kind of athletes it was going to take, how the kids needed to fit into the program. And then he knew he had to work with the financial aid program with academic aid and so forth to be able to get those kids. And then that meant that somebody's going to have to pay a little money from the family to help them come. And he was able to get into that pretty quickly. And he's had really great success. And I'm really proud of him. People said, "Well, how much are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to do very little. Only when asked," and that's what I do, only when asked. And I try to see as many home games as I can. And I don't get on the bus much anymore, though. Mm-hmm. But I do enjoy watching what he's doing and how he's able to take teams and put them together and the kinds of kids he brings in. I'm really proud of what he's done. And I'm proud for what that whole program is. I was AD till 96 for 21 years. I think it was six teams when I started. I think we had about 12, 13 when I left, maybe a few more. I think they've got 27 teams now. And it's a great, great school that's got a really unbelievable program. Brian's very supportive of all of it, but he especially, between basketball and what he's done in golf, I was a golf coach as a sponsor. I mean, he does a golf team, too. They've been to 13 national championships.
Right.
And runner-up twice. So, I mean, he's taken the Terrancy team further than any basketball team, men's basketball team. He got to the Final Eight a few years ago. So he did a really, really – I'm proud of him, Keith. Okay. I know I sound like a proud dad, but it could be anybody that's gone in and done what he's done. I'd be the same way.
I have to ask you a little out of context here. I meant to ask you this earlier, but when you talked about getting on the bus with the team now or not doing that now, but you had to do that many times and sometimes in vans, but any particular travel saga that stands out over your years as head coach where it might have been a tough trip to get to the destination or to get home or you got there late or anything like that that stands out to you as you look back over it?
I could give you several of those, but very, like you said, we did vans and for up until I just got to where I was afraid to be. I meant Coach Whitson and I did the driving. Mm-hmm. So I got to where I just said, look, this is not safe. But anyway, we were coming back from Union College one night and it started snowing and we were coming over the mountain there by Mount Vernon. There's a lot of wrecks in there and even still today on the interstate, but it was on. And we came over that mountain, it was a sheet of ice, and I kind of fishtailed, and then you could have heard a pin drop. The air just kind of went out of that van, and everybody sucked it in, and then all of a sudden I heard click, 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 click. Everybody put their seatbelts on, and that's always been a fun one. Another time we were in Oakland City, and that's when we used Volkswagen vans. Can you imagine putting gas in 7 and 8? 220 in a Volkswagen van, and we went out to get in the car or get in and take off. One of my managers opened the door, and the door flew off and went flying. We were headed on a hillside, and the door went flying down the hill, so we had to figure out how we were going to get the door back on. First, after we ran it down. But there are lots of those. I left one time. I had a really really fine player from Russia that played for me, Andre Holodov, and I was just talking the other day. Brian set up a Zoom conference with myself and my players from, as he says, 1902 until 2001, and we did that last week, and a lot of these things came up, but Holodov, we ended up, I had the managers always count to make sure we stopped eating in Elizabethtown, and we left him in the restaurant. He'd gone back to the restroom, and I got on the bus. Said, everybody here? Yeah, everybody's here, Coach. We get almost down the West Kentucky Parkway, probably about 40 miles, and the state police calls and say, Coach, one of your players is back here in Elizabethtown. So we had to go back and get him. By the time we did all that and got there, we didn't win that game. It just screwed up everything.
Now, hold it off, as I recall, he was a big player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was 6'8".
Yeah, I was going to say, big. That's a big guy to leave behind there.
Yeah, he was. I'm thinking, who was sitting next to him, guy?
Yeah. I was. Didn't notice that the 6'8 guy got left behind.
He started in his place anyway. But I could go through a lot of those types of things that kids have occurred that could just take up several hours.
Well, it's great to hear those experiences. And final question for you. We touched on this at the beginning of our conversation, but you are retired now from teaching as well as coaching. But as you mentioned, staying busy. Tell me about some of the things that are keeping you busy these days, or at least as soon as we can all resume what passes for normal schedules.
Well, prior to this, I did own a farm with another gentleman and for 41 years. And that had taken up a lot of my time after I quit because I kind of enjoyed it. But I sold it in December, so I'm still trying to make those adjustments. I'm still in the process of trying to write, as I said, the book, and I've gotten a good bit of it, and things like you're telling me and that questions you're asking me now would hopefully be in there if I could go and get myself going again on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so much interested in whether I sell any books or not. I just like to have it down there for my family and players and anybody to be interested. But still yet, that's going to keep me going. I still do some speaking when asked, and people are very gracious there. And I still have a lot of really groups of friends that I meet with and that type thing. And I try to be available to people as much as I can because I think it's something I enjoy. But along as once the basketball season opens, I still watch a lot of basketball. Coach Cal let me come to practice anytime I want, which is really, really good. Brian as well. And anybody else, occasionally somebody like A.W. Hamilton over at Eastern, he said, Coach, I want you over here to watch. Next fall, I want you over here. Okay. So I try to do that. I go watch high school games and that type of thing. Practices more than games. But I was on several committees, Hall of Fame type committees and things of that nature. I was on the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame for I helped them start that and bring in the first 100 guys, and then I moved off of it. And then there's others that I've been on. I'm a vice chair of Union College Board of Trustees. So I still have several things out there that I do. And we like to, particularly this time of year, we like to try to do some vacationing, but we're kind of holding tight right now.
Yeah, everything's on hold for now, but it sounds like a great retirement, and we'll be looking for the book. It's a great story to tell that you have there, so we'll be looking for that, and no immediate target date on publication, is that right?
No, I've got a lot to write.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got one of my former managers has got some people looking at it to kind of see if what I'm doing is the right direction, and I'm not moving on it like I'd like, but hopefully I'll get it kick-started and going again here soon, and we can finish it up. My goal is to try to get it done this year. I hope I can. I don't know that I'd get it out this year. I just like to get it written, and hopefully within a year from now I'll be close to putting it out there.
Well, we'll be looking forward then with great anticipation, and, Coach, thanks so much for your time today. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Well, thank you. You've brought back a lot of great memories, and you know how much I think of you and what you've done through the years and continue to do and what you mean to so many. And thank you for inviting me on. It's been a great privilege.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and thanks again.
You've been listening to The Sports Page with Keith Elkins, an exclusive podcast from 91.3 WUKY, produced by Alan Lytle. Our theme music is Peanut Butter and Jam by Illogical Bit, available at soundcloud.com/illogicalbit. Subscribe to The Sports Page through Google Play or at our website, wuky.org.